Keep your Bible open at Colossians. We're going to focus mainly on that passage as we think again about work. Let's pray. Father, since we who trust in you have been raised with Christ, we ask that we would set our hearts on things above, set our minds upon things above, and not on earthly things, and commit ourselves and our ways to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Sometimes when we meet someone, one of the first questions that get asked back and forth is, what do you do? Hello, I'm Sam. Forget their name. What do you do? Now, it's a pretty good way to open up trying to talk to someone because it gets them kind of going. You know, what do you do? Then there's plenty of things to kind of learn about them. But the actual question, what do you do, isn't common across all cultures. Not all places around the world will start off with, what do you do? It reveals something about our culture in Australia and the Western world. And it says that our jobs are very close to our identity, what we're interested in, what other people are interested in. Have you ever experienced this? When we're young, people ask us, what do we want to do when we grow up? After school, in our first job, we might wonder, am I on the right path? You know, is this job a career? Not just is it something to do, is it a career? Is this the right thing for me, for my life and who I am? Midlife, we're on the way with something, maybe we feel trapped. We've committed to something, committed to a job, it's become a career, and now we're kind of wondering, is this it? Later in life, we might reflect and look back and wonder, what was the outcome of all the efforts in my life as perhaps our job winds down, our employment winds down, or other things, just life overall, all the effort that we put into different things. It can seem like a very significant and almost an existential question. What am I doing? And of the things that I've done, what good was that? All kinds of things. Now, in the Bible, however, it turns out that the kind of work that we do isn't so important. Actually, the Bible is more concerned about what and who are you like? What are you like? Or more to the point, who are you like? And that is more specifically, who are you like in that, how much are you like Jesus? How godly are you is the Bible's question. How Christ-like are you? And when you see that, what you begin to notice is that God cares much more about how you work, the way in which you work, than what you do for work. The Bible actually doesn't mention a lot of jobs that we have today. We're talking about screens on Friday with the older kids. And they said, oh, there's no iPads in the Bible. And then someone else brought up something else that wasn't in the Bible that we have today. And it's the same with jobs. You know, there's no programming, real estate agents or engineers. Doesn't talk about nursing or security guards or geologists. It does mention a few jobs. But interestingly, in the couple of jobs that get mentioned in the New Testament when it kind of addresses people in those jobs about those jobs, they're actually jobs that you might think, or maybe those people should switch from them. But what's said to them is, in fact, the way you do it is what matters. You know, do them in a God-honoring way. And the two examples that I'm thinking of, they might have come to mind for you in Luke 3. John the Baptist does not tell tax collectors and soldiers to stop doing those things. Rather, he tells them to do them in a godly and honoring way. He says, tax collectors, do not collect more tax than is required. And he says, soldiers, don't extort money and don't accuse people falsely. Be happy with your pay. Now, of course, we need to say, look, there are some jobs that are immoral and contain behaviours that go against what is appropriate for someone who's following Christ. you know, what God wants his people to do, and that's kind of innate to that job. But for most jobs, most things that we do, you know, things that are paid or unpaid, there are actually good works in that job that blesses people and that honors God. And that means that there are good ways in which we can do those good things, where we're supporting ourselves or we're blessing and caring for others. Something that ties in again to our what do you do is that we're in a bit of a special place in terms of history. We have flexibility in being able to change jobs. That wasn't the case for many people through history and isn't the case for many people still today around the world. And so then, what job do we do is a matter for Christian wisdom and freedom. We can have choice. Sometimes you don't have a choice. What God cares more about is how we do it. The way we do our work, the kind of person that we are, matters more to God than the job we do. Today we read a part of Colossians. In it, Paul speaks to slaves and masters in the Roman Empire. And here in it, we see principles that can easily be applied to us and how we work today. And the main thrust of it is this. This is the big thing I want us to go away with. In whatever you do, do it as if you're working for the Lord. That's a big, might be a big change of mind. But it's really helpful for me. I find it helpful for me in some things that I do that I find hard, you know, in different ways. So the first point for us is to obey sincerely, verse 22. So in everything that we're told to do in our work, you know, the requirements of our jobs or the requirements of the work we need to do around the place, whether you're paid or not, we are to carry it out in an honest and genuine way. You see, sometimes our obedience at work can look like this. Oh, here comes the boss. Quick, look busy. Or maybe that's around the household. You're meant to do a chore or something around the house. You're meant to tidy your room or pick up things around the place or do the dishwasher. I don't know what it might be. Just think of your things. Here comes so-and-so. Doesn't need to be the boss, but someone that I'm in an agreement with to do this stuff. Maybe you're the boss. We'll come to bosses later. And you don't really do it, and then you kind of do it. You know, for the student, it means in class, you're slacking off with your friends around the table. You're joking with your friends. And then the teacher walks over, and then you've got to look busy. But you know what? The teacher's actually got working eyes and can see from the other side of the room, can hear from the other side of the room. But it's that thing. You slack off, and then you've got to look busy. For the office worker, it can be distraction on social media or the internet or whatever it might be, just chatting to co-workers again. And then it means being stuck to your chair until the boss leaves. It's like a positive extension of it. You stick around extra, even though you don't have anything to do or whatever. You're doing it for looks. And it shows how committed you are to the company. I might have shared this at some point, but I once had a manager, great guy, good manager, good guy, but he would joke that he would write emails and then set them on a delay so that it was sent early in the morning. And he said the trick was not to set it to 2 a.m. or 3 a.m., but something like 2:41 a.m. And then it would send off this email so it looked like he was genuinely awake at that time and working. So he's like trying to impress the boss and climb the ranks. And I thought, that's really clever. But I never did it. But Paul gives no such tips and tricks to get ahead in the workplace. No, he says, look, this is what you meant. Christians are meant to be doing in your work, whatever it is. Be genuine in what you are doing, not slacking off on the one hand, nor kind of showing off on the other, but just doing what is needed, doing what has been asked of us. And so he writes in 3:22, slaves, obey your earthly masters in everything, and do it not only when their eyes on you and to curry their favor, but with sincerity of heart and reverence for the Lord. So having Jesus as the Lord of your life shouldn't make you automatically dismiss other bosses, like I'll come to this. You're not the boss. Jesus is the boss. But it means that you treat the other lords, the little lords of your life, the other people over you, properly. That you treat them respectfully because Jesus is your ultimate Lord. If you've got your Bibles open, we could just flick back. This might be a good point. To Colossians chapter 3, verse 1, and I kind of prayed about it, but this is a really important transitional verse from this is who you are in Christ to now living a new life in Christ. Paul said all sorts of wonderful things about Jesus in this letter to the Colossian church so far. And then at the start of chapter 3, he says, well, here's how it impacts your life. So Christ is in heaven above, we're living life on the earth. And he says, since then, you have been raised with Christ. So he says, if you're trusting in Christ who came to earth, lived, died, rose again, ascended to heaven, and will come back, he says, since you're trusting in him, you're connected with him by faith and the Holy Spirit, you're connected, you're there with him, you're one with him, you're united with him. Since you've been raised with Christ, set your hearts on things above where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. For you died and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. So this is the new mindset. This is the new driving thing in your life. It's not how the Socceroos went in the World Cup yesterday. There's something much bigger, something much more glorious, and it changes how you work, amongst other things that he's gone through. So it means that you listen to your boss. You do the things you should be doing for your job. Now, I just mentioned before the Jesus is the boss thing. Susan once told me of a kid who went home from her school and told her mum that she didn't have to listen to her because Jesus is the boss. Now, it's a good line. You're not my boss. Jesus is the boss, mum. But of course, it's totally back to front, right? If Jesus is your boss, you definitely listen to your parents or your teacher or your boss. Because Jesus wants you to listen to them. He wants you to respect them. In fact, he loves it when you do. Jesus loves that. And so all the work we do as children, feeding pets or chores or homework or whatever it might be, doing those things is a way we can honour Jesus in the world. And Titus, our other Bible reading, chapter 2, verse 9 to 10, Paul also says that when we work for those who are over us, our manager or whoever it might be, not talking back, doing what's asked, not stealing from the company, he says it makes the gospel message attractive. When Christians act that way, it makes the gospel, the message of Christ, more attractive. It makes sense, doesn't it? And it honours Jesus before others who aren't Christians. So there's another reason. Now, there is recourse. There's space for recourse and justice against bad bosses. And as I've said before, there is freedom to change jobs. If we do have that freedom. But usually, for the most part, I reckon that our employers, if you're employed, their requests are reasonable. And often the bigger problem, at least for me, is my will and my desires, my slacking off or my showing off. But our work isn't just for my... I don't just work for myself. It's not Sam is the boss and I decide exactly everything. But also my work is not just for others, either just... they tell me exactly what to do or I show off to them. But here we see that it's for Jesus. We do it primarily before the Lord. And that can transform how we do it, the way that we work. This is the second point, work wholeheartedly. How do you cope, question, how do you cope with work that you consider is unimportant or undignified? Work that you think, why am I doing this? Why am I asked to do this? Talk to your mum, she's got a reason. Or undignified, you think I shouldn't be doing this, I'm better than this. How do you go with that? You might remember, and if not, you could watch it this afternoon somehow, the 2006 Australian movie called Kenny. Kenny, he was a plumber. He worked for a Portaloo company. And what pushes the movie forward is that he just gets stuck into his job. He kind of loves it. He also acknowledges it's not the best work, but he's upbeat and he's devoted to it, and he just goes for it. So in the movie, he's even hassled by his father about his work, many others, and he just kind of keeps going. I think there's a suspension of disbelief, like, is there actually anyone like this as you're watching the movie? But he does say this in the movie: I don't do it for the glory, I don't do it to impress people, it's a job. And he says he'll never go out of business funneling people. As long as there are people around, you know, he'll be in a job. Well, how can we work when whatever it is doesn't satisfy me, it doesn't make my heart sing? You know, how can I work when that's not the case? Or when I don't get attention or praise from others for the thing that I've just done? What's my motivation? Well, Paul continues banging the same drum. He directs us away from working just for ourselves or even just for others. He says it's an act of worship, an act of saying Jesus is worthy. It's an act of service for Jesus Christ. Verse 23, whatever you do, work at it with all your heart, as working for the Lord, not for human masters, since you know that you'll receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward. It is the Lord Christ you're serving. Whatever you do, do it as if you're working for the Lord Jesus Christ. Whether you're in a Bible study, teaching the Bible, do it for Christ, or preparing, or if you're a postie, you know, on the bike, delivering letters, you know, you can do it for God. Paul here, he is an apostle of Jesus. He has a special role in terms of taking the message out to the world. Yeah, what's he doing in this kind of moment, in this letter? He's writing something to people who are slaves. And he's saying to them, your work around the household as a slave in the Roman Empire, in some place, you're in service. It's not even their house that they own or their own business, but it's their master's. He says, you're working for the Lord Jesus Christ, so do it well. That's a big mindset change, isn't it, if you're the recipient of that letter at that time? And so he says to them, and it comes to us as well, whatever the work before you, do it with all your heart. So excellence and the Christian worker should go hand in hand. You know, whatever it might be, making tables, teaching at university, raising children, looking after parents. Whatever it is, do it with all your heart for Christ. But what's the payout? The slave working for his or her master in Roman days does not profit from their hard work and excellence in a kind of cooperative arrangement, like a co-op, you know, like a farmers union or, you know, that kind of thing. Everyone's in it together and we all get a share together. It's not that kind of arrangement with the master. No, in fact, they're working now with all their heart in excellence and all these things to build someone else's fortune. Well, maybe you work for a big corporation. And who, from your hard graft, who gets the payout? Someone upstairs, right? Or on the other side of the world. It's the CEO, it's the board, it's the shareholders who get rich off your back. Now, we could take a few ideologies here and we could have a go different directions. But Paul points out something that is unique to Christians, is special to Christians. He says, and we know this, nothing in your life escapes Jesus' knowledge. Jesus knows the things that you do, the work that you do and have done, that no one else knows about. Jesus knows about that. And he says, your promise, there will be a reward from him for your good work. good works set out in advance for us to do. Sometimes we're paid to do it. Most of the time we're not. But it includes our work. It's the connection I want to make here. And so he says, you do it, your sin is noted by Christ, there is an inheritance for you. That's the payout. Previously in the letter of Colossians, all things made by Christ, through Christ, for Christ, the whole universe belongs to him. He can grant an inheritance and will pay back many times over what you have done. You know, far better than some measly Roman business, household, whatever. Much greater than anything you might receive now. Good marks on your test, a massive end-of-year bonus, even a thank you from your child, is the reward that Jesus will give when you work for him. That'll change things. That'll change things, even mucky work. In his book, Transforming Work, it just came out recently, I've just had a little bit of a flick through, Paul Grimmond writes one of the chapters, at the end of the chapter, he talks about being on a camping holiday. And he said, as he came round one day to the communal bathrooms, he heard someone whistling. And it turned out that it was a campsite employee whistling as they cleaned out the septic tank. Now, anyway, cleaning out something pretty gross. And he was just there, no one else around, and he's whistling to himself as he's doing this grotty work. And he beamed at Paul, and he said, this is the work the Lord has given me to do today. I'm almost like, I don't know if I believe it, but anyway, I trust that Paul is writing the truth. So I've got Kenny, make-believe, like, here's the real-life person. Even out of sight, he was working for God and neighbour. And it's kind of an aspirational thing for all of us in whatever we might be doing. Paul also adds on a bit of a warning as well. There's a warning verse in verse 25. You may get away with some things. You may cheat your boss. You may rip off your company and get away with it. But Paul puts in a warning. You won't get away with it from Jesus. Verse 25, anyone who does wrong will be repaid for their wrongs, and there is no favoritism. So this is to the slaves. Elsewhere, Ephesians, he also says a similar thing to masters as well. So it goes for everyone. Yep. God has your eye on you, so work hard for him. Now, this isn't just for those, we're going to shift now, for those who are working for someone else. There's a similar word for those who have people working for them, people under you or people working if you're a master or a manager. And this is the last point, and I put it as manage fairly. Now, so far, I imagine all the leaders and managers and bosses reading these verses have been sitting back thinking, yes, I can name all the people under me, all my employees who really need to read these verses in the Bible. Well, God has a word for you too. Colossians 4 verse 1. Masters, provide your slaves with what is right and fair, because you know that you also have a master in heaven. So here we have something for the first century master. Paul puts his finger on something that will end up revolutionizing Roman households, for the head who has become a Christian convert. The slave and the master are equal under God. They're brothers in Christ. As being said, it's like a time bomb under the system of slavery for the Roman Empire, as this reality was taught and kind of went out and changed things. And here Paul puts it in this kind of framing. Both the earthly slave and the earthly master both have a master in heaven. And so all slaves are equal with their master under God. And if we think back to that kind of hinge verse in Colossians chapter 3, verse 1, both the Christian slave and the Christian master should have their minds set on Christ above, their hearts set on things above in Christ. They're both being made like Jesus Christ. And so that means that they are also equal. So earlier, chapter 3, verse 9 to 11, this is to both to anyone who's a Christian, slave or master. He says, you've taken off your old self with its practices, put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge of the image of its creator. Here there is no Gentile or Jew, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave or free, but Christ is all and is in all. So every master or boss or manager or leader or whoever needs to remember that they are not the final authority. And so they need to make sure that the way in which they lead and manage and do all those things needs to be right and fair to those who work for them, because they're going to give an account to Jesus. Now, some bosses think that they're under no law and despise those who work for them. But if you're a Christian and you're a boss or you manage people or whatever, you need to do what is right. So pay your staff as they deserve, rightfully. Treat them fairly according to their position and skill. Be faithful to your promises. Don't lay unreasonable burdens on people. Be concerned for the health and safety of your workers. Pay superannuation, etc., etc. We were talking about this in Bible study the other day, but I know plenty of friends when I was at school who were getting kind of first jobs and things like this, and a lot of them had these extended trial periods where you don't get paid, you work for like 3 weeks, and then the person who owns the sandwich shop says, oh no, we won't keep you on, see you later, don't get paid, all that, because there's always school students ready to do, look for a job, another trial period. Outrageous. So bad. Just cycle through free labour. When I finished university, I went for a traineeship at a multinational company. This was out of uni, big company, 12 months, wore new shoes. I'm not going to tell a story about that, but I got the job. They offered it to me, sent the email, and I saw the pay, and I calculated it because I'm pretty sharp. $6 an hour. You know, and even then, this is a while ago, but then that was not enough for rent in a share house, bad share house, rent, food, other stuff. I'm like, that's crazy. Anyway, sent an email back. It was within about half an hour. I'm really still annoyed about it. Within about half an hour, oh, Sam, we've just found some extra money in the line item. We can give you more. I'm like, you clearly had it there the whole time because you sent, these things don't go so fast. Okay, new amount, recalculated. It's 50 cents extra. I was like, $6.50. Like, no, thank you. So bad. Anyway, when I did get a job, a guy from that place joined and he said, oh yeah, it's like slave labor. It's so bad. Anyway, they knew it. They knew how bad it was. Well, for Christians, it should be the case that Christians make to be the best bosses, right? That should be the case. Christian businesses should be the best ones. They should be really good places to work in and people to work for. But unfortunately, it's not always the case, or sadly, or grievously, if we even think about churches, sometimes can be bad organizations for people to be employed in and worked for. That should definitely not be the case. But sometimes they can be really good. And I think I'm finishing with this. But I really like the story of Guinness, the beer, and the company and the family. I think Susan actually mentioned it a little while back. But in the 17th century Dublin and many European cities, the water was so terrible and unsafe to drink that people would turn to drink alcoholic beverages because they wouldn't get sick from it. So that's good. But problems broke out with this regularly because people would drink hard liquor. So that leads to other problems. So in fact, beer was kind of the answer to the problem. Wow, what a wonderful time. No, beer was the answer because it was lower in alcohol, it was safe to drink, and the brewing process not only killed the germs, it kind of put a bit of nutrition into the drink as well. Now, Arthur Guinness was a brewer at the time, And he, in his lifetime, was transformed by the preaching of the gospel about Jesus Christ, and that was John Wesley and others. Now, it's not known exactly what Wesley preached, but it changed Guinness's life. He ended up pouring a lot of his wealth into Sunday schools, the first Sunday schools in Ireland. He gave vast amount of money to the poor. He sat on the board of a hospital designed to serve the needy, and he challenged social excesses of the wealthy class. And they decided that through the company, the beer company, they could better society and the lives of their employees in particular. So they raised the wages. They weren't just trying to screw down and bolt down the wages, lower them or lower them. They raised them up, paying better than any other employee in Ireland. And they decided that they would give them all these services to look after their employees as well. And over the course of decades, they became one of the most generous, life-changing employers the world had known. And that's on top of the beer, you know, being useful for people too. Now, what about you? We're not going to be able to do that much. We don't have big levers and big things we can do, but there are things that we can do differently. You know, we can treat people fairly, seeking to bless them as God has blessed us. You know, all that we have, all that we manage, the people that we might manage or direct, they're the Lord God's. They're His. He created everything. He owns everything. And we're His servants in the world. We're Christ's servants. And so whether we're masters, leaders, managers, we want to display the attributes of Christ to others in what we do in that leadership, in that direction of others. So to wrap up some of these things, what we do in our work and how we do it and who we are matters much more than the job, the particular job that we have. We don't just work for ourselves, but we work to love others and to love the Lord. That's a way in which we can display that. And primarily, we're meant to work for the Lord Jesus in a Christ-like way. And whether we give orders or we receive them, and you know, it's always kind of a bit of both, isn't it? What we do is seen by others or unseen, whether they're small projects or great projects, we do it again all for the Lord Jesus Christ, and that will transform the things that we do, the way that we do it, and also our motivation, you know, our heart and our mind, with Christ who's seated above in heaven. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we pray you'd help us in all our work and our good works to honour the Lord Jesus Christ. May we work wholeheartedly and in a way that is right and fair, and through it show our love for you and for others. Give us the energy and joy to do even the difficult things, for we know that it is the Lord Jesus Christ whom we're serving. Amen.